I know most of us here probably know Merv. We've seen him many times, but if you're a visitor, you won't. And maybe if your home church is a different church and you just come here to seniors on a Tuesday, you might not know Merv. So, Merv, we haven't just pulled you out of a cupboard for this occasion. You're here quite a lot. First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, home, family, whatever you like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how much do you want to know? I mean, I actually grew up in Maidstone in Kent, went to school in Rochester, then went to university, met a lovely girl who's called Lynn. She's from Northern Ireland. We lived in London for about nearly 20 years, 15, 20 years. I met her, and then we're married for about 8. And we've got 4 lovely girls who are under 7. And you'll probably see them running around and shouting and screaming. And lots of you have been able to hold them, which we're really grateful for. That's where we're at the moment. So my job here is, I've come over to St. John's to be the church plant developer as well. So.
Great. Now, you've given us a hint to what I was going to ask you next.
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. That's fine. I was going to say, what brought you here and what do you do? Because, I mean, you don't just turn up on second and fourth Tuesdays to speak at seniors. You're a very, very busy man, I know. What do you do and what are you hoping to do?
Well, currently at the moment, I'm sort of heading up the growth groups at the moment and kind of working on a few projects in and amongst the church. I'm only going to be here for another 18 months, but my job will be, God willing, in 18 months to plant another church outside of this area. We would love it to be in Paddock Wood because, humanly speaking, that seems to be the place where we want to reach as many people for the gospel as possible. But we know that God's plans are better than ours, so that may not be possible, but we'd love your prayers for that. That's what we do during the day and so forth. And this week and next week is particularly busy because we're running a Passion for Lifers, as Roger was mentioning. That's what we do.
Okay. And my last question really is, every one of us, I guess, has a unique story. Mm-hmm. In one sense, we're all here for one reason, the same reason, and yet our journey here is, for everyone, is different. Mm-hmm. Merv, tell us just briefly, how did you mm-hmm. become a Christian? How did you decide that you wanted to follow Jesus?
Mm, thank you. Yeah, I'd say I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my mum did actually become a Christian when I was 10 years old in 1996, and a number of people were praying for her, and she became a Christian. And I've got to be honest with you, I thought she was a bit crazy. When I first met her, she started writing scripture on pieces of paper on the walls. And I was kind of a bit like, I thought she was a bit crazy. So I sort of respected her, but I then went to university, worked really hard to get to university, sort of had everything really that I'd really ever wanted, really. It was brilliant. But then there was a guy in the year above me within the first 3 weeks that I was there. So I studied fine art and history of art. And lots of us kind of thought that we were going to be the young British artists. We were going to be like the Damien Hirst and the Tracy Emmons. You might think, oh, well, they're not very good. But we were going to be the next generation of artists that were going to take over the world. And if you know anything about the art world, really, it's very godless, actually. And so it was really, really striking to see a guy in the year above me. He was like the leader of this group. He said, something amazing happened to me over the summer, and I gave my life to Jesus. And everyone thought he was a bit crazy as well. And I just thought, I'm going to get to know him and find out a little bit more about him. And we started reading the Bible together. And I would say that I didn't really need Jesus. I didn't really think I needed Jesus at all. I was quite happy with my life. But I think I was really, really struck by the evidence in the Gospels of what Jesus came to do. And I think specifically, he had the authority to forgive sins. And when I really reflected on my life, I just thought that was incredible, but pretty impossible. So it was a period of around 2 years, and I remember giving my life to Jesus, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord in a coffee shop just in North Oxford called Couscous, and it's still there actually, but I do remember that distinctly. And it's not been easy all the way through, it's not all been plain sailing, but I'm very, very grateful to the Lord that I know him. And I think just related to that, I was a teacher for about nearly 10 years or so, and I think I really enjoyed that time. But I think somebody challenged me from my church to say, I was a design and technology teacher, and they were like, well, it's all well and good you being able to teach dovetail joints, but you could be used for God's glory to teach about the Lord Jesus. I think I was really, really struck by that, and it's an enormous privilege why I'm here, to be able to plant a church in the vicinity, in an area where I grew up in. I feel like there's unfinished business with lots of the people that I grew up with an area that is largely unreached and is increasing in numbers from people coming into that area. And I have it on my heart, and I want to use whatever the Lord has taught me for his glory for the rest of my life. That's why I'm here.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Are we back? Yeah, we are. Otherwise, no one will hear me. Well, I'm going to get out of the way now and over to you for all the rest of whatever you would like to share with us. And I think get us involved in doing. I think there's going to be some doing as well as listening, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. Good. I'm using my teacher skills to go from there. Well, just firstly, I just want to say thank you so much, all of you, for coming this morning. And thank you so much for inviting me. It is a real privilege to be here this morning and to be with you, to be able to share some truths from the Bible as well. Well, first and foremost, I'm sure you've noticed in and around the room and on your tables, there seems to be some celebrity portraits in front of you. Now, they've all been taken from the Financial Times magazine, and each week they have a questionnaire on there. And one of the questions they always ask these celebrities is, do you believe in an afterlife? Now, I would love us to, there's seven on each table. I would like each and every one of us to pick one, to take one, and then look at it yourselves, and then maybe feed back to your group, and then I will come around with a microphone, maybe, if we're allowed to, and you can feed back some thoughts on what you see from these portraits. So off you go. You have a discussion. Use them. There you are. If not, don't worry. Okay. Can I ask you in a moment to go around with a microphone and get some feedback?
Yeah.
In a moment, yeah. Just a double check. Have I got until 8:15? Is that right?
You can have as long as you like.
Great. 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 Perfect. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I'll just make it. So, yeah, do discuss in your groups and be ready to make a comment in a minute as a group as well, but discuss it in your groups. Okay, well, let's come back together. I hope you enjoyed that time looking at those portraits on your table. And I just wanted to get a bit of feedback. There were obviously opinions on that question from each of these celebrities. And I'd love to hear back some thoughts and what are your reflections on their comments on that. So we're going to go through each group. I'd love a spokesperson for each group. What did you find interesting about these comments, these answers to that question? And what did you, just any reflections really? We will go, let's start with this table then. So we've got John. John is a spokesperson.
We were looking at some of the comments really are very negative, but others leave it hanging there for the future. They're really not sure what it is, and they're looking for direction. Now, Courtney Pine, who's one of the best British jazz musicians there is, and plays a lot in America as well, as I said to the group, some of his solos can be a bit long-winded, but he's there. But it's so typical. Do you believe in the afterlife? No, I believe in doing the best we can while we are here, right now. And that's so typical of some people. And others have said they're really not sure. One of them, A.M. Holmes, American writer, she says, a friend says, it's come as you are. Do you believe in the afterlife? Come as you are. But it always makes me anxious. In other words, well, yes, but I don't know if I really want to do it, or don't I?
Mm. That's so helpful. Thank you so much. That's a really, really good reflection. So there is a number of responses there as well. Another table, let's go through most tables if you like. What about this table at the front? Any spokespeople here? No? Well, we don't have to. We can go. Yes, go for it.
The lack of Christianity in all the ones I looked at.
Mm. So there's a lack of Christianity. There's a lack of belief in the afterlife, really. And certainly from what we would say Jesus brings. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Let's go on to another table. Anybody would like to share? What about this table here? Sue, go for it. Sue can be the spokesman. Also, yes.
This particular one astonished me. Miriam Towers, prize-winning author of Women Talking. Do you believe in an afterlife? It depends. I don't know. Not really. I once saw my dad at the end of a long hallway in a hospital in Winnipeg where my mother was about to have heart surgery. His sleeves were rolled up and his tie tucked in between the buttons of his shirt. He looked like he was about to get down to some serious work. But he wasn't alive. So, leaves one in. Big question.
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting responses. Yeah, aren't they? Yeah. Thank you so much. What about this table? Spokespeople on this table?
Well, Jesus is the way, and none of these people seem to know the way, I'm afraid. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I'm afraid they've all seemed to have lost their way.
And who do you have on your table? Anybody that we might know? Who do you have on your table that's...
We have Julian Lennon. Who's heard of Julian? Julian Lennon, the son of John Lennon. And he said, I'm not spiritual by nature, not religious. I believe there is a continuity of energy in some way, shape or form.
Maybe one more.
Well, we've got Lev Parikian. Who's heard of him?
And what does he do?
Lev Parikian says, do you believe in an afterlife? He was asked. No, not yet. It might come. Let's hope he's on the right side.
Well, interesting. Why don't we go for one more group? Who's particularly feeling brave at the end? Yes, go for it.
We've got Gary Lineker. He says something. No. And Gary Lineker says no.
Gary Lineker. So Gary Lineker, famous footballer from the 90s, England footballer, used to be record goal scorer for England, and he just says no.
So with that in mind, we come to another person who's an actress. And I think very difficult for actors and actresses. Mm. They live a double life. Sometimes they actually lose who they really are. Mm. And she's Adjoa Ando. Yes. Now, she takes part in Bridgerton series. I've no idea what that is.
I picked it because I thought you guys might do. But yeah, anyway, so it shows how much I know.
So that's the picture of her. And she says that I'm a reader in the Church of England. I trained for 3 years and was licensed by the bishop. So she's been licensed to preach and to teach. I have a relationship, something beyond myself that we call God. In our tradition, the appetite for the divine is in me, but I'm very taken with the notion that we are stardust. We come from carbon. The miracle of this planet functioning as it does has never lost on me. There will be an afterlife as my collection of molecules reassign themselves to become other things. Mm. So I think it's, she's really got to the nub of it. That's the way of putting it.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any other reflections? Any other burning reflections from anybody? Yes, at the back. Sorry, please, could you... Yes.
Say it again. One of ours is John Blessed Snell, you know, the famous explorer, etc., etc. He says, yes, definitely. No, yes, no buts. Just that, one sentence.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. So really, really concise. Yes,
no,
definitely.
Anything.
Yeah, really good. Any other final reflections from anybody? Bill, did you say you wanted to do one?
Yeah.
Let's go for David and then Bill afterwards.
Bradley Wiggins said, okay. I don't know. I never really thought about it. I don't need to think about it until we get there. This life is hard enough.
Wow, that's really interesting. So Bradley Wiggins, famous cyclist, Olympian, you know, one of a very, very decorated Olympian. That's what he says. Bill.
Yeah, I think certainly at our time of life, if you don't think there's an afterlife, it's very sad indeed because there's nothing else to live for.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read Stephen Mangan saying, no, it seems to me like understand or wishful thinking. It's very sad. And I go back to my dear wife. She was a massive inspiration to me when she was dying. She knew she was dying, and she was happy. You know, and that gave me tremendous strength and has helped me throughout the rest of my life.
Well, that's like the greatest gift that she could ever give you, I think. And that's really, really amazing to hear. Well, thank you so much for all of your responses and all of your engagement so far. Well, look, just to sort of summarise, we've had a number of responses, some saying yes, definitely, some saying no, some saying I'd like to believe so, some saying, oh, it would be nice, I like to think it's like a cat or something. There's one that says something about a cat on there or something. Anyway, there is one, yeah, it's a really random response on there. Yes, please, yes, yes.
Yeah, novelist. I believe in cat's paradise. That's where I would go, because I'd be a cat with the possibility of bringing some humans there for the weekend.
But this is the issue, and like, you know, we might maybe be able to laugh about it, but some of these people, all of these people are very intelligent individuals, and these are the responses. You know, one or two say yes and absolutely, I really believe. Some people are on the fence. But the vast majority don't think there is an afterlife. And we've just seen that, don't we? This is almost like a picture of humanity right there on your tables. Now, I don't know where all of you are with that question. Do you believe in an afterlife? But if I could meet these people, I'd love to meet them and ask them to say, you know, Bradley Wiggins, Sir Bradley Wiggins, you seem very, very certain that there's no afterlife. But how can you be so sure? How do you know that what you're saying is true? That there isn't life after death? Because let's be honest, if there was life after death, it would be the worst thing to miss out on, wouldn't it? It would be absolutely the worst thing to miss out on. Because this life is very, very short, and eternity is very, very long. Now, death might be a really personal issue for some of us here, and some of us might be thinking, this really isn't relevant to us today. But here's how I think it's going to be relevant to us. Now, as we mentioned, I mentioned that I work here at St. John's, I have in the past, over the last 8 years or so, I've worked with a number of vicars who have taken lots and lots of funerals, hundreds of funerals. And one of the guys, actually, Paul Williams, who's going to be speaking on this Sunday, he's taken hundreds of funerals, and he's been a vicar for about 30 years or so. And in that time, he said to me that he'd only met one person who, when experiencing the death of a loved one or faced with death itself, isn't interested in the issue of life after death. There's just one person who wasn't interested when faced with that. Well, look, I believe, and I know a number of you believe, that Jesus actually does have the answer to these questions. Now, I'd love us to look at what he says directly from the eyewitness sources. So I'd love you to, you should have a little booklet in front of you, John's Gospel, we've got a little bookmark in there, so you don't even have to scramble through the pages. It should be straight there to where we are. So I'm going to read a short verse from John chapter 11. But before that, I just want to show you that John was right there with Jesus. He was right there. He lived with Jesus. He ate with him. He shared jokes, presumably shared meals and so forth. So he saw Jesus' life, death and resurrection firsthand. And it was written around 80 to 90 AD. So let's look at John chapter 11, page 34 in your booklets. And look at line 25, the little line there in there, line 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, I don't know whether you've thought about this before, but this is an amazing statement to come out with, isn't it? He doesn't just say that there is an afterlife, yes, definitely, or, you know, I'd like to think that, like all of these kind of celebrities. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Imagine if you went to Gary Lineker or Bradley Wiggins, or this gentleman, Robert Powell, who actually plays Jesus in a film in 1977. And you ask them, "Do you believe in the afterlife?" And they said, "I am the afterlife." Now, we would think they were crazy, wouldn't we? But Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." I mean, who does he think he is saying that? Imagine somebody walking into the pub, walking into this church, and saying, "Oh, when I die, I'm going to be able to sort it all out for myself. I can raise you from the dead." What would you say to that? Who does he think he is? There's always someone down the pub or just in the street or maybe at work. He's making all sorts of claims about themselves when they've had a few too many drinks, or whether they're a bit too proud and a bit too gregarious and a bit too excited about themselves. Is that what's going on here in this passage with Jesus? Jesus seems to be making the biggest claim in the universe, right? The answer to humanity's biggest need. But is he just saying it? Well, let's see. Let's take a look over the page to page 35, right at the top there in sentence 38. So sentence 38, the little 38 there. Page 35, sentence 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Well, we didn't have to wait long, did we? Just a few moments later, he's off by the grave of a dead man. And again, sentence 39. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odour, for he has been dead 4 days." Now, he's been dead 4 days. He was really dead. And Jesus says he's going to go to the grave. But they say, no, please don't, because it will be really, really pongy. Remember, it's really hot in Israel, isn't it? And he's been dead for 4 days. It's going to absolutely stink. You know, the body's already started to stink. Some of you may have never seen a dead body, but it's already started to smell at this point. It's horrible. And that particular odour of a dead body is just absolutely repugnant. "Please, whatever you do, don't open the tomb," they're saying. But look at what he does next. Oh my goodness. And out comes Lazarus. The dead man is alive. Look at line 44, just about halfway down. The man who had died came out. his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And we thought he was crazy. We thought he was all talk. But here, he is backing up his claims. The dead man, the really dead man, who was dead for 4 days, has been raised from the dead. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Loads of them, when they were asked that question, when their loved one has died, really want to know. And you might be thinking to yourselves, "Now, I'm not really interested at the moment." But let me say to you, I can almost guarantee when a loved one dies, or indeed when you're faced with death yourselves, it will be an issue that matters. How do you know whether there's life after death? Well, these people around the room, on your tables, are saying there isn't, or they're not sure. But how do they know? How could they be certain that there isn't an afterlife? But actually, if there was a life after death, wouldn't it be the biggest mistake of our lives to miss out on? Well, here we are. We are going to go back to Gary Lineker, who's one of our famous guys. He used to be, you know, bit of a hero of mine, England footballer, brilliant presenter. But he is quite famous, as John was saying, for his controversial tweets and his comments in the media. Well, let's see what is, I think, arguably one of the most controversial tweets that he posted maybe a couple of years ago. Before his really controversial one, maybe a year or so ago. Let's look at what he said. He says, this is a Gary Lineker tweet. He says, "Funny how we get brainwashed as children into believing those bonkers stories, bonkers religious stories. Might be true, though, I suppose. Might be true, though, I suppose." Yeah, this stuff is bonkers. And yet, so many people believe it's true. Now, that question that Gary Lineker is posing for us, he says, "I suppose it might be true." Might be true, perhaps. And I guess there's that question at the end, even in amongst Gary Lineker. What about if it is true? Now, I would love you to maybe have a conversation in your groups with the people sitting next to you on your groups and ask that question. What do you think it would take for you to believe that this is true? Or if you already do believe that, maybe share why you do believe it's true. But if you're here this morning and you're not quite sure, what do you think it would take for you to believe that this is true? Well, why don't you have that discussion in your table, on your tables, and somebody will get up in a second and close us.
Thank you, Merv, very much indeed. Well, there's the invitation for you. You said he was a teacher. There's your homework. And you're not going home till you've done your homework, all right? So we would love you to around the table. But we're going to have tea and coffee, perhaps over that cup of tea and coffee. Why not chew over some of the things that have been raised here? What did Jesus say? What is the reality? What are the questions we need to be facing? And who is the answer? Because it's not really a what, is it? It's a who. Let me just finish with a short prayer. And I just pray now. And then over to the people who are doing the teas and coffees for us. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing things that we've been thinking about. We thank you for Jesus, who not just came to tell us about eternal life and life after death, but came to be the way that we can have that eternal life. Lord, we pray that each one of us may have our trust in him, may understand what he is saying. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these John's Gospels. Thank you for what's been shared. Lord, show us your truth and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.